our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Some of us just enjoyed a wonderful Christian Seder led by Liz Mumford and our clergy, and now we're here to celebrate the Eucharist and close up shop for Good Friday by stripping the altar and preparing the Lady Chapel for our night watch tonight into tomorrow morning. It's kind of a good news, bad news type of night. The good news is Lent kind of officially ends tonight, as tonight starts the three-day period called the Triduum, which takes us from Good Friday to Easter Day. So those who find Lent an unbearable six-week slog can breathe a sigh of relief. The bad news is this night includes probably the most uncomfortable liturgy of the year, washing each other's feet and getting our own feet washed. Some of you came prepared for this to the Seder, ready to wash and be washed. And some of you may have only come to this service breathing a sigh of relief that the icky part was over. Every year, the readings from Maundy Thursday are the same. The Gospel is always from John and contains a section about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Makes sense, right? Have you ever noticed what's missing in John's description of the night of Jesus' betrayal? John is the only gospel writer of the four who does not include Jesus celebrating what we have come to know as the Eucharist. Right in the beginning of this reading that we read downstairs during the Seder, John says, "And during supper, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself." No mention of what they were eating or drinking. No mention of Jesus asking them to remember him, that the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. I have no idea what that is. But once I noticed it, a lot of different thoughts ran through my mind. Why did the folks who created our lectionary decide that the gospel for this night should always be the only one that doesn't mention the Last Supper? I know the reading from Corinthians is included, where Paul tells us how he heard Jesus celebrated this meal. But Paul wasn't there that night, and this had to be information handed down to him. But again, why would John, the beloved disciple, and present at this meal, not even mention it? Does John think this foot-washing thing is more important than celebrating Jesus' last meal with friends and remembering him every time we celebrate the Eucharist? And also, what the heck does washing each other's feet have to do with loving one another? According to Reverend David Lowes, John's gospel differs in another way. The meal John describes is not a Passover meal, in that John's chronology is geared to have Jesus die on the day of preparation for the Passover, indeed, at the moment the Passover lambs are sacrificed, rather than on the Passover itself. The night, then, is not about a new Passover meal, but instead is about a new commandment. But what's so new about this commandment? Haven't we heard before of Jesus telling us the greatest commandment, love God and love others? What's so different about this commandment? This passage includes one of my very favorite lines in all of Scripture. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Lowe says that this demonstrates how John believes that Jesus was in control of the situation and that Jesus' actions are dictated by love. Lowe calls this final meal a love feast, in which Jesus exemplifies the sacrificial love he expects from his disciples in his washing of their feet. He sets for them a pattern of service, of humility, of bearing the burdens of another. So the big difference is that Jesus is showing us how to love each other just as I have loved you, not only in words, but in actions. John doesn't relate how Jesus asked them to remember him symbolically in the celebration of bread and wine. He shows them love in action. He gets up from the table, ties on a towel, and kneels before them, ready to do the task that only the lowliest servants do, wash their tired, dusty, and smelly feet. To show that greatness is defined by servanthood. Once again, Jesus is turning what they thought they knew about faith, love, and greatness upside down, as he likes to do. This liturgy of foot washing is not to just disrupt or embrace what came before, but to learn something new in a different way. Foot washing usually took place before the meal, not in the middle. Jesus is disrupting not only the meal, but their expectations. Jesus knew their time together was coming to an end. His betrayal was already happening. Later, he will be deserted and denied. But for this last moment together, there was love. So maybe John and the folks who put together our lectionary want us to use this night, this liturgy, and this passage to remember that we are all beloved children of God, and our job is to love one another as Jesus did, in the foot washing and the celebration of a meal blessed and broken for us. I, for one, am kind of glad that foot washing doesn't replace or get added to the celebration of the Eucharist. You know, turn into take, break, wash, and give. Or maybe turning the healing rail into a foot washing station every Sunday. But I do think that John is not saying that this act of love is more important than the celebration of the Passover meal. I think that this is just another way of turning our expectations upside down, literally. Now we start with the feet, not the head. Maundy Thursday is all about a new commandment, what Jesus is commanding us to do. Not just to be nice to each other, but to love some people. Jesus is commanding us to love one another as he has loved us. Serve each other as he has served us. Think of all the not-so-nice things leaders and commanders and kings and others could be commanding us to do. Go to war, kill others in the name of some god or belief, hate this group of people who aren't like us. But this King of Kings is asking us, no, actually showing us, that he wants us to love each other. John's gospel is really the gospel of love, truly a love story of God's love for us. Christ's presence in the world was a demonstration of the intention that God's love extends to everyone, all creatures and all of creation. That's you and me and even that annoying person at work, or the murderer, or the other person despised by society. As it is written later in John chapter 15, he says, "Abide in my love." Now that's a great thing to be commanded to do. Love each other, love God, and abide in God's love. On second thought, I don't think anything is missing from John's gospel after all.